All right, it's 6 o'clock, and I'll call the work session in order. First, first group that's up is Bonadale discussion. So, whatever you want to do, Greg. I asked Greg and Tanya to come in because there were some questions about, you know, where are we going, how much it's costing us. We got another in your package. You'll see there's another outline on a contract for some additional services. And so if there's any questions you have, that you have for Greg and Tanya, you know, they'll fill us in. But if you want to just give them an overview of what we've been doing, you know, over the past few months, just so you can bring them up to speed, I'm sure you can do a better job than me.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we were here last time, the scope of what you were engaging us for was basically consulting to help, at the time, your current comptroller. Shortly after we were here, she left, I think very shortly, actually. So then the scope of our engagement changed basically dramatically from that consulting engagement to more of an operational type engagement where we were actually performing a lot of the duties of the comptroller's office. Since then, until Jennifer was hired, we've basically been here 2, sometimes 3 days a week. And I'll let Tanya give you some details about some of the things that we were doing over that period of time. But fast forward to now, we started moving more towards back into that consulting type role to help Jennifer get up to speed, and also help with a couple of other projects that have come up, and in particular, recently, the annual update document that had to be filed with the state, which required some sort of significant changes for this year. But with that, I'll turn it over to Tanya, and she can give you a little bit more detail as to some of the things she's done over the past couple of months.
Thanks, Greg. So a lot of what I was doing was helping compile like bank transfers for payroll, helping recording the payroll and those transfers, preparing the deposit slip so that, you know, cash could make it to the bank. In the absence of a comptroller being here. I also did the bank reconciliations for December of 2021 and a lot of the other account reconciliations. There were bond payments that were due that needed to be made, and, you know, we needed to provide assistance to get those wire transfers completed, things like that. Also the monthly New York State pension reporting. And these are all things that were recurring and, you know, we were helping with in January and February. And then when Jen started in the end of February, she started taking over those duties, obviously. And so I was really assisting her and training her on how things had been done in the past, and just going through any questions that she had, and also getting into the AUD, or the annual update document, which right now we have a draft that Jen has to review. So.
The is there anything that the contract that you gave us to sign moving forward? You want to just I know it's written out here, but just explain, you know, how that fits into the whole thing.
So as far as the way that the town manages the development project, so one of the things that we plan to do is to get a better understanding of that process and help to implement some efficiencies. Hopefully, you know, prepare a checklist or some sort of better document to allow those processes to be better managed at the town.
And also, you want to explain the escrows a little bit?
Sure. So with the escrows, those are typically deposits that are received by the town as part of the development projects, and there are, gosh, 40 or 50 of them. And there's a lot of activity at the town, a lot of, you know, cell tower projects and things of that nature. So the idea was to help get a good process so that those can be tracked better, and a better reconciliation process going.
And the documentation, I mean, the way that it was being documented and the accounts that it was put in, that's another thing that you and Jennifer have been working on, right? And jump in anytime you want, Jennifer. I mean, if you want to explain a little bit more, but the way that it was being documented before really wasn't the most efficient and maybe not even the most accurate way to keep track of it. And if I'm, you know, misspeaking, just correct me, but.
Well, with the volume of projects, oftentimes there are duplications in names because developers may be helping on more than one project. There might be backers or the investment company that is sort of insuring the project and things like that. And so there wasn't necessarily like a consistent project number to ensure that as the funds were coming in that it was being applied to the correct escrow. And so that's just something that needs to a streamlined process of assigning, you know, a number or some sort of better documentation to ensure that those are being tracked more efficiently instead of kind of lumped all together.
Yeah, we want to make sure that right from the beginning of the process that first we're getting all the money in that we're owed on those, number one. And then number two, that all the expenses that are attached to those are put into the right, are accounted for against the right escrow accounts, because ultimately in the end there might be money owed back. So we really want to make sure that that's a streamlined process.
And the problem came in is because you might have one builder, and correct me on this one if I remember, but one builder might be involved in multiple projects, and sometimes you'll get a builder sending in a check and it'll be in his name or it might be in a project name, and that was
investor's name,
right? And that was the difficulty. But by streamlining the process, you attach a number to it regardless of who sends the money in. If they send it in, if the investor or the builder or whomever sends the money in for the escrow, it'll be tracked by a number and not a name. That way you don't have to worry about it. So if you got a developer involved in three or four different projects, he might have project number 1, 2, 3, and 4. So when he sends it in, it's not just by his name. It can't get convoluted, or it can't get put in the wrong spot, because it'll be attached with whatever number that moving forward we decide, or however we decide we're going to do it, they're going to have that number, so everything's going to be accounted for. And not only that, we'll make sure that we get our money. You know, whatever money's owed to us, we'll make sure that we get that, because in the past that was a little bit of a problem. You know, we weren't getting the money that we were owed, or we weren't getting it in a timely manner. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
I think what the goal here is to sort of set a uniform process so that it, you know, all these transactions follow the same flow, and there's not exceptions for different you know, projects or different types of things, and that you're easily able to account for everything that's come in and everything that you're expecting.
And one of the things we talked about, I wanted one checklist for that covers everything. And even though, and I wanted to go to everybody in the line, so the planning, zoning, codes, town board, supervisor, engineer, whomever. And if it doesn't apply, then there will be a box, you know, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but there will be some box that, or you write in NA, doesn't apply. So if it's doesn't apply to the town board, then we'll get it and we'll say NA, and then you move it on. But that way, nobody can be missed. If it's supposed to go to zoning, if it's supposed to go to planning, if it's supposed to go to code, supposed to go to the engineer, or whomever, there's gonna be one form, and it's gonna go through those steps no matter what. So like Greg was saying, you can't miss it, because everybody's gonna have a chance to look at it, and the process never changes. No matter what, it's gonna, whatever process we come up with, it's gonna be the same process for everything. And then if it applies to a certain department, it does. If it doesn't, they just say an A, and they move it on to move it forward to whomever else we decide it's gonna go through, and in whatever order we decide it's gonna go.
So can I ask a couple questions? You know, this backing up, I supported you folks being a part of us in basically helping us transition to a new comptroller. We've got one. This, what you've all just described and Bob just described, makes all the sense to me. Let's have a system or a process at work. You're going to charge us anywhere between $8,750 and $10,500 to do that. But I'm reading some other sentences there. If significant additional time is necessary, we will discuss with you and arrive at a new fee estimate. That's number one. And number two, other than this, are we done? I mean, and it's, I hate to put you on the spot, Jennifer, but I'm going to. You know, is this the only thing that we need Bonadeo for from this point forward? And once this is done, we're done? I mean, there may be a phone call or two here or there, but you're in charge after this or not. Tell me. And so I want two answers. One is, what could change the top number of 10,500? What kind of significant additional time would be required? Have you not identified what we need to do? And then number two, when are we done with you? I like you, but just when are we done?
I like you, but please leave. I get it. No. The language you see there is basically, if we get into something where, you know, it's more complicated than we think, we have to basically cover ourselves to say, hey, we're gonna come back to you and say, you know, there is additional time necessary. I have no reason to believe at this point that that'll be necessary, but at the same time, I don't wanna put a number there that I, you know, I'm not 100% sure of. In terms of the second part of your question, you know, we'll sort of leave that to John and Bob to answer that. I mean, we've absolutely, we're moving towards that point where Jennifer is taking over those, you know, all of those monthly type things that we've been handling before her arrival. You know, going forward, I think what we had discussed was sort of us coming in at year end to make sure numbers look okay, that annual update document looks okay. And, you know, I think that's where we're headed at this point.
Okay, so other than this thing that you've identified as a really important project to do, there's nothing else out there that we want to do in any significant way?
Well, there's, we talked about ARPA, and that's where, but that's separate. You know, the ARPA stuff, the ARPA funds pays for a consultant to come and make sure we're doing that.
Yeah.
So that's separate and apart from that. Also, there's the audit, what, pardon me? The lighting district, that's a whole nother, and you can get into that in a second, the lighting district. But also we have the audit of the Justice Court. Jennifer's never done that. While we have Bonadeo here, I wanted her and them to do that together, because if we go through it with them, they've been through it, we make sure that Jennifer understands all the moving parts, and not that she, you know, she could probably get through it on her own, but why not, while we have them here, have them go through it together so that she has a good understanding of it. And I think that's it, other than you can, I think that's it, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then the lighting district. The lighting district was, you can explain that.
Yeah, I don't have the engagement letter right in front of me that kind of goes through what our intentions are of that, but basically it's the allocation to the lighting districts, because with the new LED the new LED lights that were put in place back in 2020, in the bond that, the debt that we had for that, that needs to be like recalculated as far as how that should truly be applied to each district.
Because what you did in doing, in looking at it, you found some discrepancies in the way that it was, that money was being, well, you found discrepancies in it. Why don't you tell them what the discrepancies were? Because I can't remember exactly what you told me.
Al, do you mind like explaining?
So when the debt service was allocated by the districts, it was allocated by essentially an ad valorem calculation by the assessed value of the districts, when it should have been allocated by the cost of the light replacement in each district. So for example, Whispering Oaks has a very high assessment for the district as a whole, but the district itself only has two lights. Seneca State's the same way. So those folks ended up paying a higher portion of the debt service than they should have, because it should have been based on the amount that it cost to retrofit, buy and retrofit their minimal lights in the district. Does that make sense to you guys? And is that a pretty good summary, Tanya?
Yes, and
basically we're just gonna go through and do the calculations based on the cost instead of that assessed value.
And they gotta be like, with Seneca State specifically, they were charged a lot more than they should have been. I think that's where
Seneca State has essentially paid for their portion of the debt service in the first 2 years, because it was calculated based on the ad valorem or assessed value in the district, and they only had three streetlights that were bought and converted to LED. But so, because their assessed value was high, a larger portion of that debt service was.
So I just wanted to, I get that, thank you. But these costs for dealing with the Lightning District, the audit of the Justice Court, and even ARPA, is that another letter that we're gonna get, or is that already being covered in the contract we have with you?
We approved the Lightning $330.
Those have all been approved. This is the only additional one.
Okay.
I have a question, too.
And that'll be paid through the Lighting District cost, so it's not a general fund.
Right.
So when I'm looking at your invoices right here that you sent to us, can you itemize them for us so that way I can see what you're doing? Like doing an audit of the Justice Department, I spent 2 hours at that, and this is the rate, right?
Yeah.
So that way we have a better understanding, or at least I do, as opposed to a $10,000 bill that says Bondale Group. So that way we can see you progressing, Jennifer, right? So.
Okay, yeah. I thought I had, what does that one say?
I got four of them here that just say monthly accounting services related to controller's office duties.
Okay, I can give you a little bit more with that. What those monthly accounting services are basically the controller's duty. So when we started getting into like the annual update document, you'll see a separate
line. There is one in there. There is a separate line that just says New York State and AUD.
Yep.
And that's at 15 hours. Yeah.
So I can absolutely give you more. Yeah.
And also, how come 2021 budget hasn't been closed yet?
Well, I'll feel that. So as part of the AUD process and going through and me coming in and, you know, running all the reports and looking at the numbers, we were not ready to close out the year yet until specific entries have been made. There are significant changes in the report that's being done, the AUD, which create more journal entries in our accounting. And so now we're at a point where we're ready to close out the year, but we would not have been prior because it wouldn't have been accurate or correct.
So how long do you think it's going to take you to close it out?
Probably just another week or so, and then we should be done.
And if you look at previous years, this is about, if Last year, it was done at about the same time, right? Yeah. And I got a letter from them. Hey, you're behind.
Yeah.
No kidding. Because that's not due. The AUD is due, what, March 31st, is it?
It's May 1st.
May 1st, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was one of those, yeah. May 1st. So we're not that far behind, but that's usually, it takes time to get everything in from last year anyway, because a lot of those bills are outstanding.
Now, day-to-day operational, like, what do you do on a day-to-day basis? Are you here during the day, or?
I have been, yeah, 2 to 3 times a week since January, so depending on the month, like, for the day-to-day stuff that I would do in January and February, for example, is process a lot of deposits. You know, there are a lot of tax collections.
But now that she's here, though, are you still doing that? You
no.
didn't do that?
No.
Right. But since she's been here, what have you been doing day-to-day?
Okay, so my day-to-day, after Jen started, was training her, you know, the things that I had been doing and helping her with questions as they arose. But a significant amount of my time, like over the past month, has really been focused on the AUD.
And just to give you a little background on the AUD, there was a significant change from prior years in terms of there was a new accounting standard issue, which basically required us to look at what was formerly in your trust and agency account, and not to get too detailed, but there was a shift in accounting which required additional detail and additional analysis that needed to be done. So this year in particular, no matter whether it was us or anyone else, it would have taken longer to get your AUD done.
Because the accounting standards changed,
right,
which made, there were different requirements in the reporting.
Right, exactly.
So that's why when they told me about that, I wanted to make sure that Jennifer worked with them so that, because they're all new now,
yeah,
and she got a good handle on it coming in because she had other things. So I said, okay, this is a good time to work, Tanya and her work together, so that when she goes to do it next year, she'll be, you know, up to speed at least, and moving forward, when she'll be able to keep current. But right now she has to do the other things, and there's other stuff being thrown at her along, you know, like with the lighting district, and you're doing the water district. Jennifer's doing the West Phoenix Water District that we told you about last month. You know, Jennifer's doing that, so you know, there's just a lot of moving parts going on.
And then again, you're not paying us, or you're not charging us to be here today, right? Well, you charge us $3.40 an hour.
That's for ARPA.
Yeah.
Don't ask me any ARPA questions. No, I'm not charging you tonight. You totally are.
No, there's a different rate. There's a different rate for
different things. No, I know. We take, I remember. When Roman was here, that's
right,
why I said
no more questions yeah. for you.
Roman.
It's costing us money.
Yeah.
Could we go over these as part of the work session?
Yeah, but that's going to be, I don't think we need Greg and Tanya here for these.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Do we have any more questions for Greg and Tanya? Good? Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stay. I didn't mean to push you out, but
no,
it's
okay.
Pretty nice out, so I figure you want to be heading out. All right.
Bye.
You're in charge, Jennifer. Go ahead. Give us these 8 pages of spreadsheets.
So basically, I've gone through every fund, seeing, you know, where those expenses are landing at year end, and then obviously comparing them to the budget. So we have some budget modifications that then, in fact, need to be done to be able to correctly close out the year. And these sheets are by fund. Starts with the water supply fund, ends with the general. The special district funds are a little bit different than, say, the highway fund, the general fund, or part town fund. Those are being modified off of that specific district's fund balance, which will be my last series of year-end entries that will need to be done in the accounting software. So there's not really a place of excess budget for those where the budget modifications would then be taken from. Those are treated a little bit differently. But as for the highway fund, part-time, and general fund, those are all going to end the year with a surplus overall. We're just moving money through the accounts to be in line with how the expenses actually panned out at year end.
Yeah, I mean, those three I understand, the highway, the part-town, and the general, because you've got excess money in one account. But I guess, since I'm not an accountant, using the sewer fund, for example, the Radisson expense, it's $31,000 in the hole as I'm reading this, but we're adding $31,000. Where's the $31,000 coming from?
It's going to come from that district's fund balance.
And why is it already in the hole then? That's what I'm confused about. When you say that district's...
When we're talking about the budget, that's just the revenue and the expenses. Fund balance is not a budgeted amount.
Okay.
So right now, from what they were expected to spend to what was actually spent is in the hole, that $31,000. So it's going to come from their fund balance. Because remember, each district, too, they are... Their tax rates for these various special district funds are based on their specific fund balance, their expected expenses, their expected revenues when we do the budget. And also, expenses that are applied to these, specific to the sewer district, are the county bills us on certain...
Maintenance items?
Yes, we're a year behind. So I can't say how the budget was set up prior, but it's a little bit difficult to figure out those because they're so far behind. So when the expenses actually hit, there might be some variances from what was originally budgeted. Also, there might be projects that arise in the district. Maybe you can speak to this, where Al's hours are then billed to the district. And that's very hard to anticipate.
Well, not only that, so... I think the important thing to note is that I don't believe any of these districts are going into the red. It's just a matter of, we don't always collect. Some years we collect more revenue than we need, and other years when there's a lot of work going on, we spend more than we collect in a year. But from the budget line item, the only thing that goes in the actual budget is what we collect annually. Does that make sense, Bob?
No, okay, so
let me try it this way. So for example, a good one is the lighting district. Okay. So the lighting districts.
Just the lighting district, okay.
So we signed the authorization to close on the lighting districts in 2020. It took until October of 2021 to actually get National Grid to close with us on the purchase. So because of that, we had to continue paying the National Grid maintenance charges, which are about $250,000 a year for 10 of out of 12 months of the 2021 year. Those weren't budgeted expenses. I mean, we had no idea that it was going to take National Grid 20 months to close on the purchase of the streetlights. Or whatever.
So those districts were double paying for that time because we didn't know when we were closing. So we just
exactly. So we didn't collect enough revenue to pay that cost because it was an unknown.
Right.
Does that help make it a little easier for you, Bob, or make a little more sense? So before, I guess the other thing is Bob is Dave always took care of these as a. Because all of the cash was in one, it was just one transaction on the budget transfer sheet previously. You never got it listed out all
itemized by
individual districts. Okay. So that's why it looks so different to you this year.
Okay.
So Dave always used to do it as one cash transaction in the county journal and then applied it to each district.
And we can do that if you guys would rather.
That's the long and short of it. Why it looks different this year than what it did previously.
All right.
So you just got more detail. I mean, this is, and there's other districts that we didn't spend all the money in, and the money goes back. So, like that Radisson Sewer District, we had the big expense because we had the main, the sewer main break and manhole repair in the median of Willow Parkway in 2021. We didn't know that was happening when we budgeted 2021's budget. That was an emergency repair situation. So the revenue didn't cover what the expenses of that repair was, so we had a transfer from fund balance to cover those costs.
Yeah, I guess what I was not saying was what is the fund balance in each of those things, so.
That's not listed on that worksheet.
Right.
Okay. But all the monies that, each, no matter, the districts are, it's a wash. There's never, you know.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Got anything else, Jennifer?
If there are any other questions on any other of the budget transfers, answer them. And again, these were all in 2020, so you know, the ones for the highway fund, the parts count in the general fund, just from doing some research and looking at the previous budget modifications, those are my reasoning on there. When you guys will probably end up getting a little more detail in the explanations when it's actually my budget and I'm looking at the, you know, those expenses. Yep.
I like how you did this because it does give more detail. It does
I love
more understanding
it.
Of how. Like that Radisson Sewer District is a great one. We have a pretty major problem there that cost us some money, so it actually allows you to see what those costs were.
And it says the account description and gives you the notes too, why, so it's perfect.
Yeah, it's just much more detailed than we were previously getting, so it's well done.
Before we're just getting an account number and that was it?
Yes. Yes.
So in the way that Jennifer in the future is going to document expenses and things, even when we do our budgets moving forward, Jennifer and I are going to sit down with each department head, and she's identified some areas that really, according to Bonadeo and Jennifer have identified, there's some areas that expenses are being allocated in one line item which when they should be. So that's what we have to do when we sit down with the department heads, what we have to do. So that, like with Ken, you know, Ken, we have to move money around with Ken. Ken wants to know where his money is. So when we get through with doing the budget with Ken this year, Ken will have a much better understanding of what money he has for what and where his expenses are. And once we get through with it, when we come up with the new software,
it'll be real time too.
It'll be real time, you know. So as these bills come in, they'll be allocated. So he'll know, we'll know, everybody will know. So, but it'll be. And the nice thing is, Ken, it being Ken's first year, there's not a lot of retraining that has to go on. It'll just be normal business for Ken. Because once we get through, we'll all agree, yes, this is where the expenses should be allocated to. And, you know, that's the biggest problem for you. And I don't mean to speak for you, no. Ken, but I think right now the biggest problem for you when we're documenting these things is, you know, where's my money coming out of? You know, I think it should be coming out of here, and it's coming out of this thing, and it should be going in here, correct?
Yeah, what is the reduction of the $61,000
for? Oh, that was in 2021 anyway.
Yeah.
You don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the number next to it says 5222. That's why I want.
Oh, yeah, that's the day that it was processed.
Okay.
Yeah, this
sometimes
is.
Expenses hit after the fact.
Yeah, sure. I just figured, I didn't realize that this was.
Yeah, this is last year's budget, so.
And the meeting that the county comptroller had of all the town comptrollers, and it was a very successful meeting. So there's a lot of good information being shared. It's going to happen quarterly, which will be really the city comptroller to one of our meetings to be able to ask him some questions. So I think that'll be.
Talked about software.
Talk about software. It was a big topic of discussion.
Software as a service.
Trying to get the most bang for our buck, pretty much.
Good?
Yeah.
Everybody good?
Good.
Thanks, Jennifer.
We do the PUD Radisson zone amendment. What's that?
What?
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Go ahead. It's, you're up, Al.
So
that's number three on the list. We're trying to follow the list here.
I believe you guys got these all last week. This is a community development five-year plan.
Yep.
And the applications, if you want them, they're up there. I'll give you copies. I'm assuming you guys all looked this over. I mean, if anybody has any ideas or wanted to make changes to the five-year plan, this is your opportunity to do that tonight. I would like to ask that we modify motion A slightly to read motion made by and seconded by to approve the community development, the 2022.
Okay.
Community development block.
You know
three.
What? Just write it out and I'll put it. Go ahead and read it out,
okay.
But then we'll change it.
To approve the 2022 community development block grant 5-year plan and 2022 project applications, because we actually have to, the resolution has to cover the 5-year plan and the applications that we're sending.
And what this is for is that's why we're having a public hearing on the community block grant, development block grant, is because in order to meet the requirements of the grant, these are the steps we have to take, and we're a little bit behind anyway.
The county was late getting this stuff to us this year. We only had 3 weeks to pull these applications together. We got the material like May 6th or May 7th, and it was due the
following week.
We got it April 6th or 7th, and it was due last week Friday. Yeah, so we just...
It was pretty quick.
Yeah,
it was a pretty quick
turnaround on these ones, much quicker. Normally, they get it to us like 3 months ahead of time. So the county got the information out to us late, so they extended the timeline on doing the public hearing and approvals of the resolution approving the applications and five-year plan.
But that's why, Ken, that's why, when we came up with these, because of the quick turnaround, you know, Al did a great job at putting it together. But normally we'll bring you in, and we should have sent this over to you, sooner. But it was just because we were behind the eight ball a little bit on it.
And not that you would complain about getting any one of numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 in your budget.
Six. Why wouldn't we just do a chip seal?
Warriors, I'm for it.
Warriors path. We're saving that for Warriors path.
Bob doesn't mind a chip seal on his road.
I don't mind.
That's a country road.
It's a country road.
Not in a country road.
Rats a PUD. Now we'll answer your questions on that one. So this was discovered the other day. Probably just flip to the second page, and I'll run through this, because that'll show you where the parcel is located. In 2013, a zoning map was adopted that changed that parcel that's highlighted there from PUD to AR40. Well, that parcel is still in the Radisson PUD. It's covered by the Radisson General Project Plan. And the reason that I believe that happened is there was a Radisson General Project Plan amendment in 2013 as well that changed that parcel from an industrial use to a residential use, which makes sense because it's behind a whole bunch of houses there on Phillips Street. So from a land use standpoint, it makes sense that we would not want to put industry right directly behind existing homes. And I think what happened is because of the GPP amendment happening around the same time as the zoning map adoption, for some reason this parcel ended up getting selected as an AR40 parcel rather than a PUD parcel.
Is that Budweiser?
That's Budweiser, yep. So this is just adjacent to Anheuser-Busch property.
So well, yeah, this, just this, a small driveway or small.
Yeah, they got just. Get in there? Yeah, they got 150-foot road road cut there on 60 Road. Mm-hmm. Is the access to the site?
Oh, mm-hmm. This is 60 Road right here.
Yeah, yeah, that's 60 Road, Phillips Street.
Yeah.
This is 31, obviously here.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So. The reason this came about is ESDC, who still is the owner of the parcel, had somebody approach them about parcels that would be suitable to construct soccer fields for club sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would be an allowed use in the residential uses of the Radisson GPP, but under our current zoning, as an AR-40, that would not be an allowed use. So it really is an error, and I believe, like I said, Karen and I believe that the error is because of essentially this was in the same time frame as when the Radisson GPP Amendment 8 was approved. The zoning map was approved right after. We just think it was an error when the B&L pulled up the map or drew up the map for us in 2013. So we're just changing it back to PUD, which is what it should have been all along.
And not that it makes any difference, but I'm just curious, why would anybody want to build an athletic field there? What's that all about, do you know?
It's a private entity that wants to construct their own field space for a lease. Really? Kind of like, I guess it would be something like the ice arena type thing, you know, but it's a privately funded, public funding. They want to buy the land at market value from ESDC and develop it as athletic fields.
We have to have a public hearing on this, though.
Yes, because it's to adopt the new zoning map, it is a local law. Yeah. County planning is doing has taken over our zoning map duties now, so we should have the draft map back next week. So on the next meeting agenda, you'll see a resolution to set a public hearing date or advertise for a public hearing and refer the map to county planning and the Lysander Planning Board for review.
How big is that area?
It's like 15 and a half acres.
Oh, it is that big.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sized piece. I think some of it's wet in the southeastern portion of the lot, but the northwestern portion is pretty high and dry. You're going up out of the hill, you know, going up the hill on 60 Road there.
Yeah, I'm surprised anybody's interested in building athletic fields.
I'm not.
You're not?
No, that's a pretty big demand right now.
Well, somebody is.
Well, but it was an error, you believe, in the first place.
Oh, yeah, I believe it was an error, and it's related to the proximity of when the zoning map was adopted and when Radisson GPP Amendment 8 was adopted. It's absolutely part of the, and I can bring that right here. So this is the Radisson map.
It's right there.
This is that parcel. So it's part of the Radisson GPP. For some reason, it just got the color got changed on it to AR-40 right after the use in the GPP was changed. Because this piece used to be zoned as industrial, but it backs up to residential houses. So they changed the use, allowed use from industrial to residential.
To residential?
Yes. Under the Radisson GPP, construction of recreational fields is allowed in residential.
Okay.
But it's not allowed under our zoning as AR-40. All good? Make sense now?
That helps.
So I don't know how ESDC came to own this parcel. I can say that Anheuser-Busch owns this and this, though.
Okay.
So Anheuser-Busch bought it as a buffer around them, basically.
Good.
Anything else on those two things? No? Got anything else, Al?
Sure. So the other thing that the highway committee has been working on is updating the equipment replacement plan. We're not asking for any action on this. Just take it home, review it, come up with questions, or give us any questions before the next meeting so that we can try to address them. And we'll probably ask for, adoption or preliminary adoption and authorization to buy some equipment at the next meeting.
You know what you ought to do is attach the previous 5-year plan.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about it is it.
That's what I asked.
It's totally inaccurate because we've seen 15% inflation on the cost of vehicles over the last 2 years. So, I mean, I can show you it to you, and I can give it to you, but it's not.
But I mean, that covered 22 and 23.
It covered it 24, I believe.
Or 24, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're already in the 22.
Yeah.
Covered 23 and 24. So, just to give them a frame of reference, because
what
I said to Al was, I said, now that Ken's here, you know, and, with their highway committee, they said they, they had new needs, and Ken's got different needs than Jerry Hull did. So I said, okay, I said they'll come up with another 5-year plan, which makes sense, which would incorporate these other years. So I'm pretty sure I got that, but if you got
it, I'll email it to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing on that is the cost.
Yes.
But that we had in 2020, we were assuming 5% inflation.
Yeah.
And in 2020, when we adopted it last time, what we've seen in the last 2 years is like 15% inflation.
Well, you moved some stuff around too, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
As far as the type of equipment you wanted?
Yes.
Types and years that's being purchased.
Yeah.
Trying to get the trucks before the equipment, because the trucks are the furthest out as far as getting them from the production.
Manufacturers.
Yeah.
Where are we at with the truck we ordered last year?
That truck is currently in limbo. Tracy says it's going to be here in July, but that was also ended with a, but don't quote me on that sentence. That particular truck, because of costs and shortages, went up just about $20,000. For that truck alone.
Yeah, there was two mid-year price increases on the MSRP. The way the county contract is written, it's a reduction off the MSRP price at time of delivery. So because they had two in 20, and since we ordered the truck, they've had two mid-year MSRP price changes on the truck, because it's all related to the cost of raw materials, specifically steel. Steel is incredibly high right now for unknown reasons.
Well, it shouldn't affect them with their F-250s, because they do that in aluminum.
No, I think only the half tons are aluminum.
Only the
half tons are aluminum.
The 250s are steel, right?
Yeah, the 250s are steel. I think only the 150s are aluminum.
Yeah, because Kevin went out and tried to put his magnetic sticker on the Parks truck, and it wouldn't stick. I go, yeah, it's aluminum. I didn't know the whole thing was, but.
Yeah, I think only that 150s are aluminum, not 250s, and not for all. Still steel.
Okay. All right. That it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll call the work session closed at 6:50.
Nina.